When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Het Stuf Podcast Network, welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast about words, Irish words, words from Ireland, and, in our current run, place names. I am Dara Cochet.
And I'm Padraig Quivonic.
Garagine couldn't be here today, but she sends her good wishes to you all. How are you getting on, Patter? Stay out of trouble?
I am, yeah. Ups and downs.
Ups and downs. No one goes. I do indeed. We've been getting some great feedback on our recent place names episodes. In fact, here is a message from a listener.
Hello there. It seems your answering machine is turned off, so I'm sending it this by a registered file. So, Mail Tochlin, Osiluan, Isanam Dom, Malachy O'Sullivan is here, and I was listening to one about place names, and my favourite place name is Dawkey in County Dublin, well known for its very rich inhabitants, although needless to say, all of the inhabitants aren't rich. Anyway, the thing about it is that Dawkey apparently is a Viking name or a Norse name. But what it means, I'm not quite sure. You'd have to look it up. Anyway, it has nothing to do with the Irish, which is Delginish, which is my point in contacting you. Delig is a thorn, you know, like on a rose bush. And Inish, obviously, is Ireland. So the interesting thing is that if you look from above, the island looks like a thorn. That is, it's thick at one end and it thins out on the other end. So it's like a thorn shape. But the other interesting thing is the island itself and all the surrounding area is covered in brambles or thorns, you know, blackberries like frockens. So you can collect frockens, but you end up with your hands torn apart by the brambles. So that's it. Deliginish, Thorn Island, and an island of thorns. Ciao. Bye-bye. Good luck.
Dawkey. Who knew?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a great spot. Matt Damon loves it, doesn't he?
Apparently so. He keeps getting stuck there.
Yeah, but no, it's Delginish. Yeah. Look, absolutely brilliant. Keep them coming in. We always want to hear what your favourite place name is, or what does the place where you grew up mean? Or what do you think it means? Do you know what it means? Do you want us to find out what it means? Because I'm really good at Googling.
we know the people who know the people who know the stuff. And yes, and we are, of course, always delighted to be to recommend loganim.ie to anyone who is interested in these things. But today, Patty, you mentioned that recently there was ups and downs. You were experiencing ups and downs.
There was an attempted segue, but I forgot that we'd have to, you know, do some housekeeping beforehand. But yeah,
housekeeping indeed. But yes, speaking of ups and downs, there's some place names in Ireland. Some place names have a sleeve in them. Or they're up there. There's places up your sleeve, and then there's places where you might take a knock.
Up your sleeve, you might take a knock. This is terrible. I quit.
Well, you say this every episode, and you keep crawling back.
Yeah, I know. I'm a sucker for punishment. It's the masochist in me.
It's terrible. Terrible business altogether. But today we went up on to often if an area has a sleeve or a knock, people notice it, and it tends to worm its way into the place name because, you know, where does Patter live? That place with the mountain or that place with the hill?
Yeah. It's prominent, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's prominent, and it's something that predates the likes of Balia or Cahir or, you know, anything like that. But, like, yeah, absolutely, if you live in a place that has a glan or a glown, It's very evident that you live between two mountains. And if you live in a place called Canuck something or Sleeve something, it's very evident that you live upon one of those mountains or hills, because Canuck means a hill and Sleeve means a mountain. And it's really self-evident. These are the ones where we don't really need to go too deep into the mystery of why these places are called what they are on the Sleeve or the Canuck side. And the real fun comes on the other side. Like, why is Sleeve na mBan called Sleeve na mBan?
Yeah.
Which women were these?
Well, yeah, why is Sleeve na mBan called Sleeve na mBan? What were they doing up that mountain? Were they unaccompanied?
Were they inadequately chaperoned, we ask, as two men on a podcast? Sleeve na mBan has huge throwbacks in mythology. Once upon a time, it was known as Sleeve na mBan Vion, Mountain of the Fair Women. There's also local folk etymology that from a certain distance and from the right angle, the hill resembles a woman lying on her back. But that's nonsense. Like, we're not averse to naming place names that look like parts of women. Like, there are two mountains near Killarney that are known in English as the Pops of Anu, and in Irish as An Dá Chéad Anann. That basically means the breasts of Anu. So Anu, or Danu, as she's also known, was the mother of the gods of Ireland. And there are two rather shapely hills outside Killarney. They're called the Paps, like the Paps East and the Paps West. And that's only a stone throw from the Baps, which is, you know.
Yeah, Annie's just doing her thing. Leave her alone.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's not the worst. Like, there's a mountain. There's a mountain in the Sperrins, the highest mountain in the Sperrins, and it's the highest mountain in the six counties of Northern Ireland outside of the Mourne's, and it's called Sewell, Sawel, but that's kind of short for the Irish version, which is Sewell Fite Meave. Which now Sewell means likeness, so it's Likeness Mountain, but the full Irish name is Sewell Fite Meave, which means the likeness of Maeve's vulva. So, given that we had no problem naming a mountain after a woman's genitalia or breasts, I don't think we're going to call something Sleeve na mBan, because from a certain angle, it looks like it might be a woman. If you look in a certain way. But look, in mythology, one of the burial cairns up in Sleeve na mBan is supposed to be where Bo Vyarug, the goddess of the Douda, lives, and Saive, Bov's daughter, was Fionn's first wife, the mother of Oisin. So, I mean, look, there were loads of fair folk associated with Sleeve na mBan, the good people. It was in and around that area as well that Fionn learned his trade. Fionn McCool of Athena learned his trade from two kick-ass women, Bomal and Lia Lucra. Nearly forgot her name there. So look, there were hundreds of women associated with Sleeve na mBan down the years, and it rubbed off. I think that's great. We've loads of place names named after men.
That's true.
We're not having Sleeve na mBan.
And this shame is just named after all them women. They all have to share a mountain instead of getting a mountain each.
They all have to share one mountain with a rather middling elevation and prominence, like, you know, 721 metres. It's not bad. Like, it's not the smallest mountain. But it's not even the biggest in Leinster.
Well, we know what the biggest mountain is. Down Kerry?
Yeah, we know what the biggest mountain in the country is. It's Corran Tuathail.
Corran Tuathail. And what does that mean, Peter?
It means Tuathail's sickle. Which is weird to me. Like, it's a cool name. It's a cool name by far. Like, Tuathail's sickle. It's kick-ass. But I don't know from what angle it looks like a sickle. But still, very cool. And it is in na Cruach a Dubha, meaning the black stacks, but known more usually in English as McGillicuddy's Reeks, which for some reason people find a hilarious name.
It's one of those things like Harold's Cross. Like, who's Harold and why is he cross? And who's McGillicuddy and why is he weak?
Well, I don't know exactly who Harald was, but I know who McGillicuddy was. So Mac Gilla Machua, same Machua, I imagine, that built a round tower in my town and in Garradine's town. So Mac Gilla Machua would have been a local chieftain. Related to the McCarthy Moor sept down in Munster. I think they still have a chief of the name, the McGillicuddies. Mm. They're very proud of their clan tradition. So they still have a chief of the name who's known as the McGillicuddy of the Reeks. Reeks is just an old English word that means stacks. So at some point after the Cromwellian plantations, the McGillicuddies got their land back, and the mountain range was translated from na Cruach a Dubha, which was the Black Stacks, to McGillicuddy's Reeks, which was McGillicuddy's Stacks. So he doesn't reek, and we should not mock the McGillicuddies, because they have lovely mountains. Some of the highest in the country, in fact, are down there. I think something like the top four or five mountains in the country are all in the McGillicuddy's Reeks.
And this is a thing in that we have in Kerry, you have a lot of sleeve based place names, but there's some counties that have no sleeve places at all.
Yeah, well, some counties have no mountains at all. They've a boring topography. Like, I think Meath has none.
Meath? None. Westmeath
Does Meath have any?
Let's have a look. You know, I think you're right. I think Meath is the county that looks a bit like one of the monks in Fatal Deviation. it looks like it's wearing a robe or a little bit like a ghost. It has no mountains. There's two sleeves just past the border on each side, but no,
yeah.
It is quite right. And then Westmeath also is sleeveless. It's wearing a sleeveless vest.
Westmeath, the tank top of Ireland, it's completely sleeveless. These are lowland counties, you know. I mean, not that Meath's entirely lowland. Like, it's got the Hill of Slane and the Hill of Tara, and they've got a decent elevation. But, like, you know, there's a bit of a difference between a Cnoc and a Sleeve in the way that there's a difference between a hill and a mountain. Mm-hmm. Like, a mountain has to have a certain elevation. And probably more importantly, it has to have a bit of prominence. Like, it has to stick out. A mountain has to have a peak.
Yes.
I know there's a place in Louth I know that has all the elevation requirements to be a mountain, but it has no prominence because it's surrounded by bigger mountains, so it doesn't stick out at all. And there's a brilliant story associated with it about a local chieftain who travelled near and far looking for a bride, and eventually he found a bride in a far off distant land, and he promised her he would take her to the top of a mountain, and all that she could see on all four sides would be hers. And she agreed to this and said, "That sounds class, sure I'll marry you." He brought her up to this place up in the Cooley Mountains, and he put her on top of this peak, and she looked around, and all she could see was about 30 or 40 metres in any direction. There were mountains growing up on either side. So she basically had sweet F.A. land, and she died on the spot of embarrassment and mortification. And that place is known as the Long Woman's Grave. And you can actually go, yeah. Telling you, I'm not lying. There's a place up there called the Long Woman's Grave, and that's the story. And imagine like scarlet for your granny for having your ma for having you, that you would fall for that one. And there is a word we can use for like people who will pull a trick on you like that.
I know exactly the word you mean. That's Schlieving.
Yeah, it is.
Which a mountain trickster,
More or less. Yeah,
does like, it?
Well, no, look, it means someone who's deceitful, right? And Schlieving, there's contested etymologies, but it's probably most likely that it comes from Schlieve, some sort of a backhanded insult to people from rural areas, kind of suggesting that anyone who comes down from the mountains is a bit of a trickster. Don't trust them as far as you can throw them. It's long since lost any associations with mountains. Like, you can be a Schlieving even if you, like me, come from the Big Smoke and have nothing to do with mountains.
Yes, indeed. It has evolved almost from its sound like it's the fact that it sounds a little bit like sly or sleeve, you know, so it almost has a
that's probably how it sort of evolved.
Of that.
Yeah, that's probably how it survived into the English. That, like, it's hard. Like, you can't have an onomatopoeic word about someone's personality, but that's close. I mean, Schlieveen, if you had never heard that before, and I said, don't mind him, he's a proper Schlieveen, you'd know exactly what I was saying. Exactly what I was saying. It sounds untrustworthy as a word. Like, not that you trust words, but you know what I mean? You definitely wouldn't trust that word.
Exactly. It has that kind of that snaky sound. I remember once my father was referring to was just warning me about a certain Schlieveen he knew. He said, look at him there, you know, always rubbing his hands together. That's what Schlieveens do. They're like praying mantises.
At least you could see his hands, you know what I mean? He keeps his hands in sights, and I'm all right with that, like, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few Schlieves that are of interest to me, and we're going to go on to our favourite nooks as well, but there's out in on the west, there is a Schlieve Alp, and I love the fact that it sounds a bit like it's an alpine mountain.
But yeah, sounds like it, but it's a bit of a, what do they call it in French, a faux ami, like a false friend, because Alp is actually the Irish for a lump. So Schlieve Alp is the lumpy mountain, which is weird because it's like as opposed to the flat ones, which I don't think works. But I don't know if there's a Schlieve Mean, which would be the flat mountain. But yeah, the mountain of the lump or the lumpy mountain. Yeah, and again, mountains look like lumps. So it's funny, I've always found the naming of mountains to be absolutely fascinating. Like down in Kerry, down in for example, on Ivrahuk, where the McGillicuddy's Reeks are, where Nacruach Dubha are, there's Coran Tuhil, like the sickle of Tuhil. There's Cnuch na Peiste, the Hill of the Serpent. You know, there's, oh my God, there's so many of them. They're brilliant names up there. One of my favourites is on Gun the Moor, the Big Gun. There's the Canava, the Bones. Cathair na Féinne, the Fort of the Fianna. Bin Chéireach, the Peak of the Sheep. All of these brilliant names because they have so many mountains and you need to differentiate between them. But on Achill, they have on Schlieve Moor, the big one. The big mountain. Yeah.
Big mountain.
That's it. Like, yeah, the big mountain. On Achill, it sticks out, like it's prominent. You don't need to differentiate it from all the other mountains on Achill. That's not something you're required to do when naming these places.
Yeah, when you have a few, you can be a bit more adventurous in your names.
Yeah, and we get pretty adventurous with our names on the, you know, when it comes to Irish mountains. They're just look, it's an absolute wealth of gorgeous place names that speak about. They speak about topology, they speak about our religious history, they speak about our pre-religious history, right back to our ancient Celtic, Gaelic, Druids, all of those boys. It's class, like, I just love them, you know what I mean? As you go through it, like down in another part of Kerry, in and around Schlieve Mish, there's a very tall mountain, one of the tallest in Ireland, and it's Bartri Gaum. Now in English it's Bartrigum, but Oscailge Bartri Gaum, the top of the three hollows. And it's like that's real Ronsale. But like then when you go to like other parts of Kerry, like there's on Vangerta, Mangerton Mountain, right? On Vangerta, just outside Killarney. If you stay in a hotel in Killarney, they'll serve you Mangerton lamb, and it's like the most beautiful lamb you'll ever eat in your life. But it all comes from this mountain on Vangerta, the long-haired one.
Oh.
And you're like, where does that come from? That's absolutely class. And then down on Corcaguina, there's Bino Scuí, the peak above the wind. Like that mountain that is so tall, it's actually up. It's over the wind. That's, and if you've ever gone mountain climbing, there is that point where you reach an area, and you don't get it too often in Ireland because we don't have very, very high mountains. But you get to that point where you've sort of gone up a bit, and the pressure sort of the air pressure just reduces a wee bit, and the wind doesn't feel as heavy in your face as you climb. Look, I fucking love it. Like it's above the
wind. That's poetic. That's Kerry again, having the ocean wide. It's just this incredible Like,
I think they just had so many. We said it earlier. Like they have so many mountains in Kerry that they had to be a lot more creative with their names than say like we did here in Dublin and Wicklow in the Dublin Wicklow Mountains, like Lugnaquilla, the Hollow of the Wood. I'm like, all right. Mm. I mean, that's a cool name. That's great, but you wouldn't want to have any more than two hollows or three woods to be dealing with.
Exactly. But then a few years back, I got married in Wicklow, a beautiful county that I used to live in, and I had a happy season. So in, and I had many happy times in Wicklow
Town. Where did you live in Wicklow?
I live in Wicklow Town.
In the Wicklow Town.
Wicklow Town, indeed. Right. And we had some great times. But I got married just outside Enniskerry in Kirtlestown. It's just a nice little spot there. But in the background of our wedding photos, there's a very famous mountain. And in English, it has a distinctive name. It's called the Sugarloaf Mountain.
Yeah.
But on Skelga, it's got nothing to do with... There's no Shukra there.
No.
No Shukra at all. It's on Chur.
O'Coolan.
O'Coolan.
Yeah, so, I mean, O'Coolan would be the more common name associated with the mountain. I know Onchur is the name of the townland, the Lugana Maitul up there. So if you were, for some reason, sending a letter to the mountain and you didn't have its air code, the address would be Onchur. But O'Coolan is what the mountain is known as, certainly what I would have known it as learning it in primary school. And it's really prominent. And on a very clear day, you can see it from all parts of Dublin as well, because it sticks out. And yes, the Irish name is significantly older than the English name, because the Irish name predates the importation or the production of sugar in Ireland. And so Sugarloaf used to be how sugar was sold. Before they invented granulated sugar, they'd basically drip a sugary liquid onto a piece of parchment until it would form a little mountain, and they'd let it dry, wrap it up, and sell it to you. You can still get a drink at Christmas time in certain parts of Germany. It's called Feuerzangenbowle. What they do is they take a huge, big sugar loaf of sugar, obviously, soak it in rum, set it on fire, and it all drips down into mulled wine. So Feuerzangenbowle is a fire tongs punch.
Wow.
It's unreal. Like, it's absolutely class. But they still use a sugar loaf for that. And yes, it looks absolutely like that lovely mountain in Wicklow, the Great Sugar Loaf, which is a real, again, that used to be a very common name for a pointy mountain.
But as
sugar loaves fell out of common usage, the name fell out of common parlance. It's held on to its English Luganum here. It's held on to that, but I don't know too many other sugar loaves in these islands.
Yeah, it's probably Wicklow. Just the local character of the area probably let that to stick in a bit more. But the do we know who introduced the Sugarloaf name? Was it Trevelyan? He had a bit of land there, didn't he?
Did he? That bastard. No, I haven't got a clue. Like, but they still use pan de sucre in France to denote that pointy sort of mountain. That typical, the mountain you draw when you were a chiseler. I don't know. I know Owen McNeil did a lot of research on place names in and around the area. But he did a lot of work on O'Coolan. O'Coolan, basically, we that refers to the kingdom or the petty kingdom that it's in, that area that covered South Dublin, North Wicklow, which we still have, for example, in Coola GAA Club. Mm-hmm. All-Ireland hurling champions not too long ago, a very, very prominent Gaelic football and hurling club. It's just basically just means the lump or the peak or the hill of Coola, which was the local kingdom, which makes a lot more sense than, you know, the Sugarloaf, I suppose.
Indeed.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to That's Banging with me, Marcus O'Lara.
And me, Chris Mellon.
A new podcast celebrating everything good from farm to plate,
ship to service,
and field and fork.
A celebration of everything tasty, fresh, and excellent that's coming off our island at the moment.
As well as interviews with people who are shaping the best of the best of food and drink from around the country.
Episodes are out fortnightly on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
So, We talked a bit about Schlieves now and mountains. How about, do you have a favourite hill in Ireland? No, you don't. People don't really feel strongly about hills. Hill 16.
Hill 16, la. I'll go with Cnoc Tower Riga, the Hill of Tara, because it is cool. Like, I mean, I give me the hard time, and they deserve it most of the time.
Yes.
But Tara is pretty cool. It's pretty amazing up there.
Yeah, it's pretty special, all right. But in terms of Nook place names, if anyone's to stick out, I think I'm Nook Saddon, as for some reasons that popped into my head immediately. But there's a few other Nooks around. CNOC, fun to say.
Cnoc, yeah.
Cnoc.
I mean, that usually gets translated into Nooc. And of course, there's Nooc in Mayo, site of the Holy Pilgrimages. There's the Nooc Meal Down Mountains in Munster and the Waterford Tipperary border, I want to say. Cnoc Weldownig, so Muldowney's hills. Very modest because they're obviously mountains. Whoever Weldownig was, they're very. They were very, very modest and humble about the size of their mountains. I mean, look at that. In the Nooc Meal Downs, there's another hill called Sugarloaf Hill.
Oh, that's pretty handy. Would you believe that?
There you go. Yeah, on the Tipperary-Waterford border. It's Oscailge, it's Cnoc na Gluck, which just sounds class and it's great to say.
That Cnoc is fantastic. Na Gluck,
the Hill of the Stones.
Cnoc na Gluck. If there's a creep at your window, they might knock glass. And there's a knock glass in Kerry.
There's a knock glass meaning the green hill.
Yeah.
There's a knock boy meaning the yellow hill, Cnoc Bui. There's loads of them. Like, you know, we have a lot more Cnicke, you know, Cnocha, Eagsúla, Timpel na Tíre, more hills than mountains. Because like a mountain has got to be. I think 500 meters at least in height to be categorized as an Irish mountain. And it needs to also have a prominence of over 100 meters. So it needs to stick out. And that qualifies it. So interesting story. I say interesting. I think it's interesting. It's probably not. So there's a type of mountain, like a certain height criteria in Scotland called a Munro.
He's
named after a chap called Munro, who did a lot of surveying of mountains. And we don't have that same categorization here. But basically, instead of Munros, what we have is if something is half the size of a Munro, it's called a Marilyn.
I get it now.
Yeah, exactly. And deliberately chosen to echo a Munro. We only have, I think, five mountains that would qualify as Munros in Ireland. They have to be over 900 metres, over 914 metres. So that's pretty huge. Like, and of course, you know, people are sensitive about whether or not a thing is a mountain. Have you ever seen that movie, The Englishman That Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain?
I remember seeing that at the time. That was a Hugh Grant. It was the film that came out right after his incident in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, the where he was with the sex worker.
Grace. No, it was Divine Brown. That was her name.
Yeah, Divine Brown, yeah. Yes, so look, it's a charming movie. It's lovely. It's about these English surveyors who go to a town in Wales to measure the height of their mountain. And then they sort of go like, I've got a bit of bad news, chaps. I'm afraid it's not technically a mountain. So the Welsh are not putting up with this shit. And they decide to throw an extra few feet onto the top of it. And they get their mountain. So people are very, very, you know, sticky about that. So we've got our own categorization of mountain in Ireland called an Ardarin. Coming from Ardarin, which is the highest peak, I think, in County Leash. But basically, it's the characterization of a mountain in Ireland and what qualifies something to be a mountain in Ireland. So an Ardarin has to be 500 metres in height and has to have a certain prominence, around about 100 feet, 30 metres or so. And that means that, you know, you can have mountains in Ireland then and call them mountains and feel confident in saying that is a mountain or I'm going for a walk up the mountain. And you know you're not kidding yourself. Like it's not a hill, you know. And some Cnoca are technically mountains because they reach this minimum criteria, but very few Sleivte are actually only technically Knocha, or very few mountains are only technically hills. So, you know, I have often heard it said that, like, we only have one real mountain in Ireland because we only have one peak that's over 1,000 metres. And that's Coran Tuchel, obviously. But I mean, that's setting your standards way too high.
Yeah, this is like when people say you have come up with weird definitions of a city, when people say would mention certain places in Ireland that have a cathedral but don't meet their what they believe a city to be. The fact is, a city is kind of one of those things. You know what it is. You know what it's there when you see it. But if you actually ask someone to give a precise definition of what point in time becomes a city, you will eventually fall on some technicality like a cathedral or a charter.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I mean, if you want to be a city,
exactly.
I mean, I would have, look, to be honest
you
with you.
You do, you, Chum.
Chum's not a city, so I'm not. I'm not
you do,
into
you,
this.
Chum.
God. Chum. Look, Kilkenny, right? Kilkenny's a city. Kilkenny wants to be a city. Kilkenny has a royal charter. Like, it's literally the only time a Kilkenny man will listen to what the King of England has to say is when he says, "You're a city now." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, okay, sound, fair enough." You want to be a city, you can be a city. But I mean, mountains, there's a minimum. We can be clear about that. 500 metres.
So where between Sleivs and Knox, where would you find a Ben?
To be a Ben or a Ben, Ben or a Ben, because they get translated. It's Ben in Irish, B-I-N-N, and it means peak. So that gets translated into Ben or Bin. And then the plural of it, as Gaelge, is Nabana. And you get that in a lot of place names like Nabana Burkia, Nabana Mora. And of course, most famously, there's in Galway, there's the 12 Bens.
12 Bens.
Yeah. Yeah, the 12 Bens are sometimes known as the 12 Pins, Nabana Beola, basically the peaks of Beola. They're called the 12 Bens. Of course, there's 22 of them. So we don't really know which 12 in particular are the 12 Bens. But there are 12 there, and like the biggest one on Ban Vaughan, Ben Vaughan, it's like 729 metres. It's quite tall. But I mean, look, it's just, the place is incredible. I'm glad that there's more than 12 of them, because it's just one of the most beautiful places in the country. It's absolutely brilliant.
And yeah, for a lot of people, the most famous Ben place name you think of in Ireland is Ben Bulbin. In Sligo.
Yeah, obviously. Ben Holborn.
Because certain Mr. Yates, who regularly appears in this podcast, although we haven't given him his own episode yet, commemorated poetically.
I don't think we should give him his own episode, to be honest with you. We speak about him enough in this one. I'm inclined to try and, you know, reclaim Ben Holborn, take it away from Yates and give it back to, you know, Dermot and Grainne. Of the Fianna. I think it's where Fionn ultimately engineered the death of Dermot O'Divna. I think that's where they went hunting for the boar, wasn't it? Up on Ben Bulbin.
That does sound right sometimes, and that's something Yates would have been interested in.
I mean, of course he was. He's always interested in that feckin' sort of mopey lost love nonsense. Oh, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you marry me? Like that. That crack.
Oh, Yates.
Well, no time for that crack.
be off with you.
Just climb a mountain. Just stop writing about Ben Bulbin and climb it. And then when you sit on top, you can write about it because it is stunning, and it would make you want to write about it. Yeah. What's your favourite mountain?
My favourite mountain.
Hmm.
I mean, God, yeah. I suppose I think I probably have a sentimental attachment to the Sugarloaf because I just made my wedding photos. But you know, I mean, I could take Ben Bulbin as well. I think it's a, you don't forget it. You see it, you don't forget it.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's stunning. Like, it's stunning. You, when you, if you're driving into Sligo and you come sort of you know, over the hill, and it just hits you on a sunny day. It's absolutely incredible. It's amazing. I'm going to go with the highest mountain. Oh, no, sorry. It's not the highest mountain in Connacht, because I remember I was gutted when I learned that it's not the highest mountain in Connacht. It's the second highest mountain in Connacht, Nephin. Nephin in Mayo is a beautiful mountain. Just, it's so prominent. It's sort of, it's almost on its own. It just, it dominates the horizon. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I, my dad would have spent a lot of his childhood in Mayo, and I spent a lot of mine with my grandparents in Castlebar. And whenever we'd go for a drive, you could see Nephin. And, you know, my grandfather was adamant. He was 100% certain that, and these were in the pre-Google days, of course, so you couldn't just check, you know, that it was the highest mountain in Connacht. And when he found out that Muil Ray in Galway was only like 8 meters higher, he was good at. He was good at. Like another thing Galway just took away from Mayo. The bastards.
So what, did Nephin disrespect a funeral or something?
I don't know, but Nephin does mean sanctuary. You know, so I don't know. I don't know where it got its name. It's a beautiful name. It's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, it means a sanctuary, like a holy place, a sacred place, and a sheltered place. So, you know, Nephin's gorgeous. You know, I think it's fantastic. Nephin never disrespected no funerals. Nephin for Sam.
Yeah, it's Nephin for Sam indeed. So, Pater, before we wrap up, is there anything off scale guy that's rocking your boat at the moment that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
So Monday, St. Bridget's Day, Law, Breda, Imulk. I watched this amazing multimedia music show made by Áras Cronán in Clondalkin. Damien McGowan wrote the show, wrote the lyrics with Declan Masterson and Alan Doherty. So local musicians all from the area. And it was absolutely gorgeous. It's called Breed, Sail agus Éireacht. So Bridget, life and heritage. And it's just, I just thought it was absolutely gorgeous. It was like, it was so weird to see new musical content created during the COVID-19 restrictions, but it was so well done using video and live music. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. And I hope that Áras Cronán will get to show the video. And I think, you know, if you want to check out Áras Cronán on Facebook, they might be able to upload it at some stage in the future. But it was a once in a lifetime live experience. It was really enjoyable.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to hopefully them sharing that. Something that that came across my Twitter feed, which I really enjoyed, is there's artist based in Kerry, Sewell O'Wan. Like you know, the way someone often when someone is called Sullivan, their nickname would be One Eye or Cyclops, depending. But this was
depending on whether or not the bully has read the classics.
Depending, exactly. But this is a rap Askelga called Viva Lubernach. Sewell O'Wan, again produced by Bantam, which some of you will be aware of, and I think it's pretty cool, and I think it's something that some of you might be interested, if you like this short clip, might be interested in checking out at Bandcamp. The link is in our show notes. Lefani gada leni behene gaili as a gnashta, imus grashta, gum vivum he ho dian the ho wee will rip, capping the course and build it is gum hoary me. Timpalam matters, I could demand beer at the knapper, soon snooze, cool we come at the fact, cool we go to flick. When the stoosh got in the still of a hig, rap bear on the rest of she is katoon peel, moho asso, a homo plias gondig, makalu, a deer ya sakta, mavato nisha, tear a stocha, our dare fad a fosh, fagan roddies pulling boha, and what of nahiha, and with a vian bio, stella watwa, as paula louis mokahia, gomahol, shana hint of rigger for the tea, a den of glow, time shamahola, the hasting boom bear woke. So, until the next time. It's a slán from me.
Agus slán wimche.
Do 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 do. Thank you very much for listening to the episode. Motherfucker comes out every Friday on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you can't wait that long for your next podcast fix, check out some other Head Stuff shows such as The World According to Wikipedia. Thanks to Kirsten Shield for doing her art. Thanks to Brian for producing. You can contact the show by leaving a voice note in the WhatsApp number in our show notes.
Well, that was deeply unfair. What am I supposed to say now? You've done all that. Yeah, what he said. Slán.
Slán. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Mountain of the Lump. Yeah, Alp being a lump.
A big lump, yeah. But that's some stuff.